This is Circuit Events, the podcast where we start with a current event and see where we end up. My name is Mac, and I am joined today by Carly. Carly, do you have anything you want to tell the youths?
Yes, youths. I would like to inform you that I never read the newspaper and I don't follow current events, so this should be interesting.
Well, fair enough. Let's get into it. So, those of you at home won't know, well, you might know from the irritating sounds that are about to emit from your podcast, but I actually got a paper copy of the article that I'm reading from today.
Old school.
Yes. So, today we are talking about something that happened in Toronto.
Ooh.
So, a Toronto chef's restaurant was being protested by a bunch of vegans, holding out signs that are like, animals are not ours to use, murder, Antler, which is the name of his restaurant, has blood on their hands. So,
Antler.
In what I consider to be a power move, he brought a leg of a deer to the front window in his restaurant. He butchered it. He returned, he went to the back, and then he came back with a plate full of steak and sat out in, like, in bay window area eating his steak while these protesters protested his restaurant.
That is amazing.
Now, I am going to say outright that I eat meat, so those are my bias. You're allowed to have bias, but I'm just telling you what mine are. So, before I give you any more kind of details about the protest, what's your initial thought on this?
Never heard the story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good, good.
Mm-hmm. My initial thought is, rock on. That's pretty funny that he did that and made that statement. And why were people protesting initially? Like, I mean, everyone has the right to have their own restaurant. If he wants to serve meat at his restaurant, why would that be all up in his grill?
Well, let me tell you.
Okay.
Also, was that pun intended?
No.
Oh. Okay. So, let me see here. I got the article. Also, I got it from the Edmonton Journal, published Wednesday, March 28th, because normally I put the links to all the articles, but this one I tore out of the newspaper. Ooh. So, it's written by Jake Edmiston. Edmiston, chef butchers eats deer leg in front of activists, is the title of the article. The initial intent was to stage weekly protests starting in December because a sandwich board reading "Venison is the new kale" drew the ire of activists, but the cold weather dampened their plans. So this is only the fifth time they've protested.
Mm.
So basically he made a kale joke and then they started protesting his restaurant. According to this article, and again...
Oh, he made the joke, the actual
guy. Yeah, so he put, like, a sandwich board out with, like, specials on it and wrote, "Venison is the new kale," and a bunch of activists got upset about that.
Really, it's drawn a lot of attention to his restaurant, so I think he's doing something right to bring people there, because anyone that eats meat now knows about this place called Antler in Toronto, so any publicity is good publicity in my books.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's got his picture in the newspaper. I mean, it's in Edmonton. But the interesting thing about this article, the twist on this article, is that he is all for ethical farming. He doesn't believe in factory farming. He does, like, local game and local foraging. That's kind of the thing with his restaurant. So of all the restaurants that serve meat, this is an interesting one to protest.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it is called Antler, so it kind of makes you think a little bit.
Like, yeah, like, there's probably going to be meat here.
But yeah, no, that's interesting because that's, like, one of people's biggest topics as to why they go vegan is animal rights. Mm-hmm. And if you've eliminated that part of it and it's not, like, cruelty to animals, a lot of, like, people that don't eat meat are actually more okay with it. Not that they would go and eat it right away, but, like, I have friends that if they know that it was, like, you know, their uncle went out hunting and caught his own meat, then they'll eat that because they know it wasn't, like, mistreated animal.
Right, it wasn't, like, on a killing floor or anything like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're, like, more okay with that. Or, like, even I've been traveling and people that are, like, strictly vegetarian when they're traveling, they'll eat meat because they know in those countries they treat them, like, animals differently.
Right.
So it's just, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then so there's a part on the article here I wanted to get to. So some people have criticized the protesters because they're saying you're going after a small local business instead of going after these big chains who have arguably committed worse crimes than someone eating meat.
I agree.
Especially when he's gone out of his way to be so vocal about factory farming and things like that. But the fact that the small establishment is touting ethical meat is a big reason why protesters selected it. I won't get through to them, Ugar said, and that's the lady who's leading the protests. But she also believes humane meat is a myth. And she's using it, Antler, the restaurant, as an opportunity to debunk it. They asked Hunter, which, I mean, okay, the dude's last name is Hunter. He owns a restaurant named Antler. Like, leave the guy alone. He was built for this. So they invited him to join them at a vigil at a slaughterhouse. And he said, come foraging with me. And they were like, no. I'm trying to see.
He sounds here. Like almost like a comedian.
Yeah. I'm trying to see here whether he...
has a background in comedy?
No, what he said about going to the vigil. It did say that he added vegan dishes to his restaurant. But, I mean, like,
after this protest?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Guess maybe he was like, well, maybe if vegans come inside, they won't be so angry on the outside. Or maybe some of the protesters will get hungry, and if there's a vegan option, they might come inside.
I mean, it's tough for a place called Antler to, like, be, like, you kind of want to stay true to what you're good at. It's like, if you're a Vietnamese restaurant, you're not going to have Chinese food or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, stick to what you're good at. But I do like how restaurants are having vegan or vegetarian options, just because I have a lot of friends that are vegan or vegetarians, and it's nice when you can just go to a restaurant and not have to worry about not having any options for people.
Yeah.
So it just keeps it open so you can check out whatever restaurant you want to go to, right? So,
well, and I mean, we have a restaurant called Meat on White Ave. I don't know if you've ever been to it.
I haven't.
Okay. Well, they have these, like, garlic, like, glazed fries that you can get that are so good. But they also have vegetarian options, and it's, like, a restaurant called Meat. And it's not so much because it's, like, oh, like, we're a meatitarian restaurant. It's more like you want to be able to go out with your friends and not feel like, oh, if I'm going out with my one vegetarian friend, I have to go to a vegetarian restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel, too. I'm pretty sure, I'm from Vancouver, I'm pretty sure there's a place called Meat in Vancouver that is vegetarian.
Oh, really? Yeah,
just that's to fuck funny. With people. I haven't actually been there yet. Oh, okay. Because whenever I say to my boyfriend, hey, let's go out to this place, he'll be like, is that vegetarian? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, no.
Oh.
Hard no, like right away.
Yeah.
Like he likes meat. So we don't go to any of the cool vegetarian spots because he just thinks he'll hate it.
Yeah.
He's coming around. I'm working on him.
I feel like if I had someone like... If I had someone who could, like, cook for me, I could go vegan, no problem. The problem is, like, I already can't cook. And then if you add, like, okay, now you're going to take away all the protein that you eat. Like, I've tried getting into tofu. You know this. I've told you about my tofu exploits.
Yes. I think you tried hard enough.
I have a friend who's, like, a chef who has been, like, a private chef for people. And he's like, what did you do to the tofu? And I step for step explained what I did to the tofu. And he's like, that should have worked.
Oh.
Yeah, because I pressed it in the pan to get all the evil juice out of it. Or, like, I pressed it, like, I folded it in a towel and pressed it with a pan to squeeze all the evil juice out of it. I marinated it. And then I just, like, fried it in oil. And the last time I tried it, I immediately had to spit it out. I was like, there's no way.
What did you marinate it with?
The first time I made some, like, weird marinade with just stuff I was left in the fridge. So the first time was my fault that it was gross.
You don't see my facial expression, but I'm not approving of that.
Yeah, very disapproving.
Oh, I got some ketchup. Oh, some ice cream.
No, I just marinated in stuff I would hummus. Do, like, ugh, I don't like hummus, but that's a whole other issue. I could do a whole podcast about my dislike of hummus.
You know I put hummus in that wrap, didn't you?
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
You didn't even know.
What? What part was the hummus part?
The part that tasted like hummus?
I tasted tomatoes. I tasted spinach. And I tasted the, like, crunchy stuff that you put in it.
Cucumbers?
No, falafel bit.
The falafel?
Yeah. Where was the hummus?
It was on the wrap.
Did you use it as, like, a spread, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different. It's the same with, like, avocado. When you use avocado as, like, a spread on a sandwich, it's great. If you're just, like, cutting it up and eating mushy avocado, pass.
Oh, okay. So you wouldn't, like, take a spoonful of like, hummus with a carrot?
No, yeah. Like, my roommate loves, like, dipping it, like, stuff in hummus, and I'm just like, I don't like the texture of it. It's, like, grainy to me.
I see. Yeah. You just haven't had good hummus.
Maybe.
Mine was homemade.
Wow. Okay, brag much. Mm. I'm over here like, oh, I can't cook. And then Carly just comes in, I'll make homemade hummus. And Also, I know about all these vegetarian places in Vancouver.
I'll tell you a little story, though, about making my first little bit of homemade hummus.
Okay.
First of all, I bought the food processor because I was depressed, and I just was, like, depressed shopping. And I was like, this food processor processor matches my blender. It's pink, as you can see.
Yeah.
So I bought it because it was on sale, and it matched my blender. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, I need to use it.
Yeah.
So I was like, what's the easiest thing to make in a food processor? Hummus. Right?
That was your natural, like, progression of thought?
Yeah.
I would be like, what's the easiest thing to make in a food processor? And I would be like, salsa, maybe? Or, like, cereal?
What?
Yeah, you just fill the bowl with milk and cereal and eat it.
That sounds horrible.
That's my level of culinary expertise.
But there's another level to this. So, you buy chickpeas and then you need the tahini, right, to put into it. You know what that is?
Nope.
So it's a sesame seed paste.
Oh, okay.
Right? But then I went to, what is it called? Bulk Barn?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing here, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I go there, and I'm looking up and down these aisles. Like, Bulk Barn's fucking huge. Like, there's so many, like, spices and things, and I'm, like, looking at every little spice. Like, where is this stuff? The recipe calls for it. Couldn't find it. And then I finally asked somebody after looking for, a good 15 minutes, and she's like, it's over in the refrigerated section, like, obviously. And I was like, so sorry to interrupt. I didn't know it was, like, a paste that needed to be refrigerated. I thought it was, like, a spice I was putting in.
Oh, okay.
It was fucking embarrassing. I'm just gonna say, like, she looked at me, like, this is probably, like, an 18-year-old girl working there, too. Like, obviously it's in the refrigerated section. I was like, suck a dick. But, yeah. But it was delicious. So...
Okay, so I have a story to tell you. I'm not going to reveal who this person is, but I know someone. And if they wouldn't have done this, I would have done this eventually. Like, so they saved me from making this same mistake.
Okay.
They had seen quinoa.
Mm-hmm.
They had used quinoa, cooked with quinoa before, but they had only seen it in recipe books. They had never pronounced it, so they thought it was quinoa. So they're at their usual grocery place, and they're up and down the aisles looking, and they're just like, I can't find it. So they go and ask someone, and they're like, do you have any quinoa? And they're like, what? And they're like, quinoa, like, it's this, and you use it for this, and yada yada, and they're like, that's quinoa. Yeah. And, like, at that point in time, quinoa wasn't even on my radar. I've expanded my mind since then. But,
That's an honest mistake. Like, it's a weird spelling.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of ridiculous.
But, and it was at the time where, like, the fad was kind of, like, starting to come in, where, like, people were using it, like, ancient grain, yada yada. And, it was... quinoa.
Well played.
Yeah, and like if you would put the word in front of me at the time, I would have pronounced it the exact same way.
We could do a whole video of you going into the different stores saying, excuse me, where's your quinoa? And then just videotaping people.
Yeah, that would take my like anxiety level of grocery shopping and just put it through the roof.
You haven't done that video yet, have you?
Mm-mm.
It's on. That one's next.
The problem is my camera is huge, so it's hard to, like, subtly film things in public
place. I could just do it
on
an iPhone.
That's true.
That'd be, like, more subtle. Or we could make it really obvious and just bring a big-ass camera.
Oh, my goodness.
Record it. It'd be funny.
People would be like, is she famous? She doesn't look famous.
Bring one of those ones that, like, is, like, an over-the-shoulder brace. Like, yeah, rolling.
Yeah. Like, I'd be like, can I have quiet in aisle 6, please? I'm rolling. Oh, my goodness.
People would be very embarrassed. It'd be great.
I'll use all the terminology I've learned from various film sets.
Mm.
I'm like, speed, chug sound, quiet on set, action. Actually, I think they say quiet on set first. I don't know. I was paying
probably.
Attention.
You don't want to be quiet before they roll.
Yeah. Well, and speed, I think, is what they say when they check the sound tape.
Oh.
I think. It was a long time ago.
You're an extra?
No, I've been in a couple, like, indie sort of short film things.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was super fun.
Pretty much a celebrity is what you're
trying to tell me. Pretty much. I'm not going to lie to you. I was in a French web series that is terrible. Like, the web series is good, but, like, I am terrible in it because I could not speak French at the time. This is pre-French degree where I took, like, 3 years in junior high and then never touched it again.
Uh-oh.
But I was very concussed when I went and auditioned for it. I don't know how I got a part in it, but it was a very positive and magical experience in my life.
Nice.
Yeah, I met a lot of really great people through it, and, like, it was just, everyone was super nice to me and super encouraging, even though I was, like, trash and, like, also had never acted before. And something they should tell you your first time acting is you're never supposed to look directly in the camera, which I think is something that maybe...
they get awkward? Like, do people get awkward?
No, it's because if you watch a movie, they never break the fourth wall. They're never looking directly in
unless
the camera.
Unless it's, like, The Office when they're, like...
Yeah, when it's, like, a documentary type thing where they're just, like, I see you. But or Deadpool. I think Deadpool breaks the fourth wall all the time. But,
yeah,
so you're not supposed to. So I think partway through filming... the cinematographer is a good friend of mine now, was like, oh my goodness, you looked in the camera and ruined this take. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. No one told me. And he was like, I was joking, but can we just backpedal to the part where nobody told you you weren't supposed to look in the camera?
Well, I didn't know that until right about now.
I feel like it's one of those things that unless an actor does it and the director's like, hey, don't look in the camera, like, maybe people don't mention it.
And it's
but
that awkward, like, you keep looking at the person and looking at the camera, like back and forth.
Well, and there was somewhere I was, like, walking, like, with a flashlight like this, and the camera was right in front of me, and I just didn't look at it because I was uncomfortable. Like, it had nothing to do with...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Those are the days.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Tell me about what you ate today. What did you eat? Your, like, non-vegetarian vegan diet.
Okay, well, let me think here. I've moved more to vegetable-based lately, actually, this past month. I just find when it's super cold out, like middle of winter, there's no way I can
eat veggies.
Just eat vegetables.
Hmm.
But, okay, let's see. Today, I got up and I ate a bowl of Harvest Crunch for breakfast, and I had coffee, and I ate about a pound of chocolate before I went to work.
What did you eat?
Well, I have so much chocolate at my house right now. So I have these bag of, like, Smarty eggs. So they're basically, like, Smarty's version of a mini egg. My parents were in the province a couple weeks ago, and they left a bunch of Easter candy at my aunt's house for when we were there on Easter weekend. So I got some chocolate from them. So I have these, like, oh my goodness, Carly. These, I think they're called Sweet Georgia Browns. And it's pecans with caramel and chocolate.
Sounds like a turtle.
It's like a deconstructed turtle where the pecan is at the bottom. It's not wrapped in chocolate. Then there's a layer of caramel. Then there's a layer of chocolate.
Ooh.
And it's like, it's the perfect amount of crunch. And I had one yesterday for the first time.
Mind blown.
And I have not stopped thinking about them. Like, I have a full box of them at home. And I just, like, I wanted to just make a gallon of coffee and just sit there and eat them all. They're so, I, like, texted my mom and I was like, these have changed my life forever. And she, of course, being my mom, is like, oh, I wanted to get you something that you wouldn't get yourself for Easter.
Aww.
Like, I knew you might go out and get, like, mini eggs, like, half off the next day or whatever. But, yeah,
let me tell you about that for a sec. Interrupt your story for 2 seconds. I went to Shoppers Drug Mart yesterday, and I was just, like, didn't plan on going to get 50% off candy. It wasn't even an intention. I get in there, I was like, oh! I was like, there's so much chocolate, and it all looked so good. And I probably picked up and put down 5 different items, but I walked out without anything.
Without anything?
I know. Self-control. I need to stop.
See, my problem is, like, I have developed a mechanism over the year where I'm like, once it's gone, I can't eat it anymore.
Yeah, but then that's what I mean. I can't buy more shit.
Yeah.
Like, I still have a little reserve of chocolate in my house that needs to be consumed. So wait till the next 50% holiday.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be low on my stash.
Yeah.
And then, but really there's
but
no
your next, that's the thing. After Easter, the next chocolate-related holiday is Halloween.
Mother's Day?
I mean, I don't think it goes on sale the way it does, like,
no,
post-Halloween, though.
It's probably a good thing for my life.
Yeah. I have so much chocolate at home.
You know, you do have a friend that you see on a daily basis. Just saying.
I know. I'm full disclosure, I cannot share those Sweet Georgia Browns. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
they're that good.
I don't know. Like, normally, pecans in dessert is very hit and miss for me.
Oh, yeah.
But the way with the caramel sitting just on top and not all the way around, the crunch is so pleasant.
You're just rubbing it in now.
Yeah,
by the way,
pecans
are good in every dessert. And they're good in everything.
I find sometimes in pecan pie, though, I don't know if they're not fresh or maybe the way it's cooked. I don't know because I don't cook, but it just,
I made my own pecan pie from scratch.
And she grew the pecans. Then I they were fair trade hand grown pecans that she sang.
It was my aunt. She taught me how to make pies. We made the pie crust. I'll tell you what, pecan pie is not healthy at all.
No, it's basically like sugar, gelatin, and then pecans on top.
I put a couple extra pecans to feel better about myself, but it didn't help.
I can do a couple desserts, but none of them are pies. I can do, like, a poppy seed twist, like, puff pastry. And I can do Nanaimo bars.
Nanaimo bars. Yeah. Impressive. Did you make them and bring them in yet?
I didn't bring them in because the first batch I made, it was my first time making. Yeah, caramels. That's what I made.
Those are pretty good, too. So we got past breakfast and chocolate.
Oh, yeah. So basically breakfast and chocolate. And then I was eating. What was I eating? So embarrassing. I'm a grown adult who's gonna be 25 very soon. Friday.
This Friday?
Yeah.
You weren't kidding. No. Soon. Oh my goodness, what are you doing for your birthday?
Nothing.
Side note, dad on the side. Say what?
Yeah.
Nothing.
No.
What do you mean,
nothing? Well, because I have that course starting on Saturday morning.
So that means you get drunk on Friday and you go to your course hungover.
Well, I don't drink anymore.
That's a you problem. It's your birthday. You have to drink. It's like the one time that you're forced to drink by your friends.
I don't have any friends force me to drink. I've never drank on my birthday.
My hand is up. I will force you to drink on your birthday.
No, it's okay. I'm good. I'm all right. I don't know, like, my birthday's always been kind of during, like, finals, and so I kind of treat Easter as my birthday, where I eat lots of chocolate, I get lots of good food. Sure, other people are celebrating other things, but who isn't on your birthday?
Oh, my goodness.
So.
You gotta do something.
Maybe I'll get, like, a Blizzard from Dairy Queen or something. I have so much chocolate at home, though. Why would I get a Blizzard? Maybe I'll sit down with some of those sweet Georgia Browns and just let all my worries float away.
Well, what is the date today? What day is your birthday? On the 6th?
On the 6th, yeah.
So, it's our friend Justin's birthday on the 5th, and then Nick's birthday is on the 10th, and then his friend Kenny's on the 15th.
Oh, my goodness.
So, on Friday, we're going out.
I'm not.
Don't post this like, podcast until after, because it's a surprise.
Yeah.
So, surprise!
No, it's going to go out next Thursday.
Cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I mean, I would say I'm officially inviting you to come, I feel like it's anticlimactic because we're already celebrating two other people's birthdays that aren't actually technically on your birthday.
Well, and I mean, also, like, going out is not my idea of fun.
Oh.
Like, I went out for my roommate's birthday because that was important to her, but that is not at all my idea of a good time. Mm-hmm. I'm very much, like, I'm, like, a small group person, like, something like a board games night or something. Like, that's my idea of, like, yeah, like, I would do a board games night for my birthday or something like that. But I don't know. It's not really a big deal to me, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just not your jam?
Yeah.
If you could choose your top thing to do on your birthday, what would it be?
My top thing to do.
It's a tough question.
It is, because, like, what does, like, top thing that, like, I'm fiscally able to do at the moment?
Yeah, I guess something realistic, because I could be, like, skydiving.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be, like,
traveling the world, going on a cruise. Let me think here. I've never been on a cruise. I don't know whether they are actually fun.
I've never been, and I won't until I'm 70.
Fair enough. That's a good time to go.
Yeah.
Let me think here. Maybe, like a brand new paperback novel and, like, a cup of coffee and maybe, like, a couple games of crib with some of my friends.
Well, I don't think we've talked. You play crib, too?
Oh, I play crib.
You're talking to the crib master. Okay, well, we're going to have a crib match. Okay. I warn you, I gamble.
You gamble. What does that mean?
I bet on the games.
Oh, okay.
I can't play without, like, gambling.
Oh, okay.
And it makes Nick really mad.
Do you play with Muggins?
Yeah.
What kind of things do you gamble?
Money, usually.
Oh, like, but just money?
No, me and Nick, like, we, like, usually it's, like, a bet of coffee. And
oh, okay.
We'll be like, okay, I bet this. And then we'll be like, I bet, you know, whatever little thing.
If I win, you have to try to change one of those giant pillows in those tiny pillowcases we have at work.
The new one?
Yes.
It's really
good. I'm not joking. I have to, like, put the pillow in, like, a stranglehold to squeeze all the air out of it, and then I have to shove it in the case really fast before it expands, morphed and, like, ugly.
Does Sue have these problems, too?
I don't know. I haven't asked her
about it. I feel like she's got a technique. She's British.
She probably does. She probably, like, folds it into a swan and then gently tucks it into the pillow.
Go back to the home, swan. Oh, man. Okay, fine. Yeah. That's a good little mesh.
Yeah.
And if I win, you're not allowed to buy 50% off meat for 1 week.
Well, I buy 30% off meat because I can't find 50%.
The bologna. The bologna.
Oh, no bologna.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. Carly's referring to the 30% off ham that
I had. Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, that I had in my backpack that I ate, and then it consequently made me very sick.
And it was frozen and expired.
Yeah, but I froze it before it expired.
Does it really make a difference?
It makes a little bit of difference, but I should have frozen it not as close to the expiry date, because then it only had to be thawed for like half an hour, and then it went bad.
Ew.
Yeah.
I see.
I also learned the hard way one time that fish, like, putting meat in the freezer is not a time machine. It doesn't just, like, freeze it. So I ate fish in 2016 that had expired in 2013, but had been sitting in the freezer.
Oh.
Okay, listen.
This is why I brought up what you eat in a day, because I knew you had problems like this, and I wanted to help.
I'm learning. I just have to make mistakes. Okay, listen. So I took the fish out of the freezer, and I was like, 2013. I saw the expiry date, and I was like, I don't know about this. I was like, well, I'll thaw it out, and if it smells bad, I'll throw it in the garbage. No problem.
Freezer burn. Have you ever had freezer burn?
Yeah, but freezer burn doesn't mean it's bad for you, does it?
No, but freezer burn makes it taste like shit, so
okay.
Why would you eat it?
Well, okay, but let's follow my train of thought here. So I thaw the fish. Smells fine. Doesn't smell bad. There's no dark, weird spots on it or anything. Looks like a good piece of fish. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll cook the fish. And if the fish starts to smell bad after I cook it, I won't eat it. Cook the fish. Smells fine. Taste a little piece of the fish. Because, again, I'm very wary of the fact that this fish expired in 2013. Most delicious piece of fish I've ever eaten in my life. It was such a good piece of fish. And I was like, cool. Went out on a date. Probably, I don't know. Like, definitely before I was gonna leave, I, like, my whole stomach just, like, locked up. Like, I felt my whole abdomen flex, and I was like, something is wrong. I've made a mistake. And I was sick for the next probably 18 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was so sick. But this fish never smelled.
Did you make it out of the date?
Knowing? And it's not even the second time. I got Norwalk virus once partway through on a date. And, like, to be fair, this one, it was more of like a pre-date. It wasn't like a date. It was like, but we were stargazing. We were moving closer to each other.
And then you're like.
And then all of a sudden I was like, I gotta go. And he was like, what? And I was like, I gotta go. And then so I drive home. I throw open the front door of my house. I throw up in the guest bathroom.
Oh.
Yeah. I run upstairs to my bathroom. I throw up again. Oh. My sister, who knows that I've been out with a boy, is like, have you been poisoned? Like, what is going on here? She brought me, like, an ice pack, and I spent the whole evening on the, like, bathroom floor curled up with an ice pack on my stomach. And to this day, I have never explained to this person. I still talk to them occasionally. Never explained to this person what happened.
Oh, my. Yeah. You should. They should listen to this. So really what happened is you open the freezer, you're like, okay, fish, this is like 3 years old. Okay. Yeah. You open, grab it, and you're like, oh, there's freezer burn all over it, but I think I'll still try it. And then you're like, oh, there's a bunch of weird black spots and weird spots on it, but fuck it. Let's try and cook it and see what happens. And then you cooked it, and it smelled really bad, but you're like, I'm still really hungry and I have nothing else in my house, so I'm going to continue this cooking process.
Are you insinuating that
and
that's...
And then you're like, I'll just try it. If it tastes bad, then I won't eat it. And then you ate it, it tasted bad, but you're like, fuck it, I have no time and I have to go on this date, so I'm just going to eat it anyways.
Are you... Okay, I'm offended that you
that's
think...
That's the truth, my friend.
I'm offended that you think I would think, I have no time before I go on a date, I'm going to eat this stink fish that I've cooked.
I could see it happening.
Maybe I just subconsciously was like, I'm going to bomb anyway, so let me just eat this.
Or the cheap fish. Part of you was just like, oh, but I have to eat before I go because I don't want to have to buy food when I go.
That's true, and I don't let people pay for my food on dates either.
Oh, that's a whole other
thing. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But basically, the moral of the story is the freezer is not a time machine. And this it might seem like a time machine, but something will happen in your gastrointestinal system, and that is not true. So be careful. Sincerely, the fish wizard. Also, at this time, I was blogging every week, which I still do, but it, I was like, every week was like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize fish was so easy to cook. I'm so good at this. Like, finally, like, I found something I'm good at. And I started calling myself the fish wizard on my blog. And then this happened, and I was like, I'm not the fish wizard anymore.
Oh my goodness. Oh, you poor thing. I'm glad that you don't cook fish anymore.
I still do. I just don't cook expired fish anymore. I also don't buy fish that often because it is expensive.
But the moral of the story really is, tying this back to good old Hunter and the antlers, like, what can we draw from this conversation and relate it back to good old Hunter?
Don't stand outside in the cold because you're angry about something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's cold out. Like, it's not, you know.
And what's worse, like, serving meat at a restaurant or eating expired frozen fish?
Oh, definitely eating expired frozen fish. Also, like, how many trees did they kill with their signs? Questions. But I think they argue that, like, you can eat plants and stuff because they don't feel it. So they're probably cool with killing the trees.
Well, maybe I'm not cool with killing the trees.
Exactly. So, yeah, this has been Circuit Events. Thanks, Carly, for joining me. This is fun. Carly is doing a ride for cancer.
This is true.
So she'll be riding 200 kilometers in August.
Brah, brah.
So I will put the link to her donate page if you want to donate and support her as she goes to do this crazy thing.
Team always grinding.
Is it still always grinding?
It's still always grinding. Unless some sponsor comes forward and wants to pay us a lot of money to switch the name to their company name.
So, like, how much money would they have to pay you for you to say change it to, like, Max Viking Extravaganza?
Let's throw out $5,000.
Okay. I won't be paying you that.
That was a random number.
Yeah.
But no, if a sponsor really wanted us to change our name. But honestly, I would just, like, I am looking for sponsors, but more for jerseys and things like that. And then we could keep the name and then have whatever company on the back. And it would not cost $5,000. We could just do that for whatever. Okay. But yeah, that's going down in August. And we have a team called Always Grinding. And currently there are 5 members. And we're all raising money to conquer cancer.
Nice. So yeah, if you want to donate to that, I'll put the link in the description. And it'll also be on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/2MIN topics. You can also find us on Twitter at @2MIN topics, and everything else is on aluminumlinings.com. So submit topics to us if you like. You know where to find us on the social medias, and that's all from me this evening.
Peace.